Tommy, lots going on. One of the biggest challenges during COVID, and lots of people's jobs have become challenging. All of a sudden they're working at home or, you know, they're doing different things. It's a lot harder. Well, did you see the fog game in Costa Rica where the broadcasters were trying to call this game from a studio and the fog is so heavy, you literally could barely see the pitch.
Come on.
Boys, this is the most absurd thing I've ever seen in my life. And Greg's, you've called play by play. I'm not sure if you've done any off monitor, but.
Oh, yeah. I had to do it for TV for lacrosse.
Okay. So that's a challenge in itself because you're not there. You can only see what the camera is giving you. On top of that, you're trying to watch the pitch, 11 men on each side, but you've got a fog that takes up about two thirds of the field. And this is a CONCACAF match. And you're trying to do the English broadcast of this thing. And poor Josh Eastern, I listened to some of his calls, and he did pretty darn good. But honestly, they tried showing like multiple angles of these goals. One guy had a four-goal performance, and all I'm seeing is fog, and then you might see the ball come into frame very briefly. So, A, I don't know how the guys played on the pitch. B, as a broadcaster, good on Josh Eastern because – man, I mean, if you see these pictures of what he was calling, that's a tough go.
Yeah, no, I just tweeted it out. It was amazing. Oh, it was a real soccer game. They didn't call it. Now, obviously, down in the field, it was a little bit better, but not much. And we've seen football play in fog bowls before. But when you're trying to call that off a screen, usually if you're in the building, you'd have a little bit, you know, better. Not much, but a little bit. I just found that was peak 2020 sports right there.
Oh, it's just, you know, what else is going to get thrown at us this year? So, good point.
Interesting when you buy a team, like we've got Steve Cohen doing the big hedge fund manager out of New York who bought the Mets for $2.4 billion, you can do whatever you want. But today, he was just barely hours into owning the team, and he brought a new president, and the president just fired everyone. Brody Van Wagenen, their general manager for the last couple of years, and pretty much cleaned out the whole front office. So, Tommy, you know, you've been around teams that have had new owners come in, and you've looked around. Do you think this is a good thing to come in and just start fresh with your group? You know, no matter obviously there hasn't been a great track record with the Mets, but just to come in and just say, this is what we're doing. We're starting fresh with my vision, and this is where it starts.
Yeah, in this case in particular, too, Strutty, the Mets have been, oh, man, like, I know the Knicks have been a bit of a disaster, but the Mets, too, like, they always seem to shoot themselves in the foot with their fan base. I know that, you know, it's a big market team with some deep pockets, but for whatever reason, they always stumbled and fumbled their way through seasons. They did it again in the 60-game season. And here's an instance where, you know, there was a disconnect from ownership to the fan base, what the on-field product wasn't particularly great. So Steve Cohen comes in. We saw him the other day interacting with the fans, asking them what they want to see, talking about having a Legends game and alumni returns and stuff like that, which is it's starting to bridge the divide. And I think when you talk about what matters most to the fan base, and that's winning ball games and eventually championships, if you're a fan of the Mets, then just starting brand new, a blank sheet, write the story fresh and go from there. I think in this case in particular, just doing this, clearing house, is probably the most welcome way to go, at least watching and seeing what Mets fans are saying and what they've had to deal with over the last handful of years.
Well, it's pretty amazing. Look at this new owner of the Mets. He's one of the wealthiest guys in the world. I think he's in the top 400, if I you know, can do the math correctly. And I wonder how this affects the relationship with the Yankees. You know, the Yankees have always been the team that had the big bucks and throwing money around. And the previous owners, not that they were poor of the Mets, but you got a guy who's worth over $2 billion. I mean, you know, I don't know that he's going to be afraid of spending, although, you know, spending is always guaranteed winning, but you're going to get in the mix like the Dodgers have.
I mean, it's an arms race at times. Baseball, I always make the joke, and I've seen it talked about a lot. You own a franchise, it's almost like football where it's a license to print money, And if you have an owner that's committed to winning and wants to go after big ticket free agents and pay the luxury tax like the Yankees do, like the Red Sox and Dodgers do, you're right in that market, and they have a devoted following as well. And so it's a great rivalry between the Mets and Yankees. They're so close to one another, obviously, that if they want to get into a shootout for big ticket free agents and try to go toe to toe with the Yankees in terms of clout in the market, I think with the financial means, it's there. Absolutely. And it's just the Yankees have been around longer. So that's kind of their leg up on the Mets. But the Mets have been around since the 60s. So they have a history too. They've won some World Series, and it'd be interesting if this becomes an arm race between relevancy in the New York area between these two teams.
Tom Cazzola joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. So, Tommy, I asked Craig, I asked Stretta, I'll ask you straight up, a pairing. You get Barry and Jones or Clefbaum and Benning. Who are you taking and why?
Okay, I'll stick with Clefbaum and Benning, and this is why. It's because I know that Jones and Barry, the offensive upside potentially is way higher than Benning and Clefbaum, but I think the defensive prowess of Clefbaum and Benning is higher than that of Barry and Jones. And then I'll just add this. Although we've seen some really good flashes from Caleb Jones, it's been in small spurts, you guys. This is a player that hasn't established himself in the NHL yet. He seems to be on track to do it, and I think that's what gives Benning and Clefbaum the leg up, in my eyes, at least at this point in time. You know, if we're talking about this same type of scenario a year from now, the story might be different, but this is going to be Jones' opportunity to prove he's a everyday NHL player, and it's up to him to show everyone that. So that's why I go with Clefbaum and Benning, Greg.
Is he just signed for 1 year, or did he sign for two, Jones? Do you guys remember?
Two-year deal.
Yeah, so I mean, there's, you know, and we talked a little bit about it yesterday. You know, you've got him at 2 years with a reasonable cap hit. You've got Legison at a reasonable cap hit. So they're starting to get those guys on entry level. Just, you know, they're going to have some contributors on really good deals. You know, you still got to figure out with Ethan Bear, but you're starting to get some deals that you're like, man, that's a good deal. If it's not a big deal, you can get away from it. And it's been a while since we've seen those started deals working their way into this lineup, haven't we, Thomas?
Yeah, absolutely. And this kind of leads to my thought that I want to throw out to you guys is this maybe a shift in philosophy with the Oilers and the new current regime, in that you are showing your prospects that you do have a chance to develop, and if you earn that opportunity, it's going to be there for you with the big club. Whereas before, maybe unless you were a high-end pick, you weren't, or somebody that was traded for that was a high-end prospect, you weren't getting that opportunity. Now it seems like we saw with the buyout of Sekera last year and Bear winning that competition for that spot on the blue line, that now if you're coming into the Oilers organization or you're a part of it, the management team's looking at you and going, we're going to help you develop, and by the way, the dangling carrot in front of you is a legitimate shot at competing and making this team. It just feels like it's starting to become the philosophy of this organization, which maybe we didn't see in the past, you guys.
It's very true, Tommy. Tommy, have yourself an awesome weekend. We will enjoy the snow potentially tomorrow, and we'll chat with you on Monday.
Take care, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.